don't preach too often from the book of Ecclesiastes. I had planned to preach this message last Sunday night, and the singing went longer than I expected. And so, but the Lord's still blessed, and we had a good time last Sunday night, and he gave me clearance to say, okay, go ahead and preach it this morning. Of course, the book of Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon, and the name Ecclesiastes means the reasoning of a wise man. The reasoning of a wise man. And you remember, Solomon was that king, David's son, who took over after David died. And he was a young man when he became king. And God came to him and said, ask whatever you want, and I'll give it to you. I mean, just I'll sign the bottom of the check, and you can fill it in. Whatever you want, I'll give it to you. And here's what Solomon asked. He says, well, you've made me king of your people, and I'm a young man. I don't know a lot. I need your wisdom. If I'm going to judge your people and lead your people, I need your wisdom. And God said, all right, because you've asked for that and you didn't ask for long life, you didn't ask for riches, I'll not only give you what you asked for, I'll give you that wisdom. In fact, you'll be one of the wisest men that ever lived. I'll give you riches and I'll give you fame and I'll give you a long life. And we read in the book of Ecclesiastes the wisdom that God gave Solomon. And I think the most wonderful verse in the whole book is in chapter 12, verse 13, where Solomon sort of sums up all his reasoning, and he says this, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He said, and he wrote this book, by the way, when he was an old man. He says, let me just summarize life for you. And by the way, he says, I want you to know, and this is what he wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes, I've tried everything the world has to offer. I tried gathering wealth, and he said, when I became a wealthy man, I discovered that wealth, it was just vanity and vexation of spirit. I gathered possessions, and I had lands, and I had houses, and I had all the modern conveniences that existed in my day, all the toys, so to speak. And when I gathered all those things, I discovered the same thing. It was just vanity and vexation of spirit. He said, I became famous and I became well known and the world knew me as the king of Israel. And when I gathered that fame, I came to the same conclusion. It was vanity and vexation of spirit. So he says, I've tried everything the world has to offer. Let me tell you the conclusion of the whole matter. Let me tell you the conclusions of a wise old man who has tried everything. Here's the conclusion that I've come to. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. There may be some folks here this morning that are still in the process of doing what Solomon did. You're trying the things of the world. You're trying to find purpose and you're trying to find peace and you're trying to find satisfaction in the things that the world holds up and says, hey, if you accumulate this or if you get this or if you, reach this station in life, you'll be happy and you'll have purpose and you'll feel satisfied. And I want to tell you this morning, you can continue down that path, but I guarantee you, you will come to the same point that Solomon came to in his life. If you get it, and when you get it, you'll say, this is not giving me purpose. This is not giving me any sense of satisfaction. I don't feel good about this stuff. In fact, it vexes my spirit. It's just vanity. It's emptiness. It doesn't mean anything. Let me just save you a lifetime this morning. Let me save you some of that vexation. There's a God in heaven who loves you. There's a God in heaven that made you for a purpose. There's a God in heaven that wants you to be part of his family. And the only way that you can be part of his family is to come and know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You see, the Bible says that we're all sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. And because of that sin, we're separated from God. And by the way, every single one of us, and you might say this morning, oh no, not me, preacher. I wasn't made by God. I wasn't made for a purpose. Yes, you were. That book tells me you were. Doesn't matter what somebody else tells you. It doesn't matter what the world tells you. You were made by God, and He has a purpose for your life, and that purpose is to be one of His children. And you will not find peace and satisfaction in anything else except a relationship with Him. Our sin separates us. Our sin breaks that relationship. But as we pictured in the Lord's Supper a moment ago, when Christ went to the cross, God laid on Him every one of my sins and every one of your sins, and He paid the price. He paid the price for our sins and offers to every single person the gift of eternal life. Not just heaven, but life that starts right now. Life that starts right now with a purpose, with a meaning, with peace, with satisfaction, with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And then heaven is after that. But none of that is available to you except through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, I want you to this morning. I beg you to this morning. You can be saved today. The Bible says today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Would you consider that the next few minutes? Would you think about that for the next few minutes? Would you let the Holy Spirit drive that into your heart and your mind the next few minutes? And see if, and please, before we get done, would you ask Jesus to be your Savior? Now, I realize that most people here this morning, the vast majority of people here this morning, have already done that. You've asked Jesus to be your Savior. And so for about the next 15 minutes, I want to talk to you. We read a couple of verses from Ecclesiastes chapter 10. And I direct your attention to the first phrase of verse 10. If the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. This morning, I want to ask every Christian here, how's your axe? Your iron, as it's called in that verse. How's your axe? And you say, what do you mean by that, preacher? I mean, how's your Christian life? How's your walk with God? How are you growing in Christ? And this morning, I have three simple points. Because you see, I think there's Christians in a couple of different states this morning. I think there's some folks that are here this morning that will have to say, well, as I look at my Christian life, as I look at my walk with God, as I look at my axe, my iron, I would have to say it's gotten kind of dull. It's gotten kind of dull. I don't read my Bible as much as I used to. I don't pray like I used to. Church is not as interesting as it used to be. I used to weep for lost friends, and now I hardly think about them at all. I used to invite people to come to church, and now I barely make it myself. I used to come to Sunday school, but now I don't have time to come to Sunday school. And I don't have time to come to church on Sunday night and Wednesday night. I used to do things in the church, but preacher, if I was going to be honest with you this morning, I would have to say my axe is a little bit dull. I've got some good news for you. You can still cut trees with a dull axe. You can still walk with God with a dull axe. You can still serve God with a dull axe. You just have to work a little bit harder. You just have to swing a little bit harder. You just have to take more chops at the tree, but you can still walk with God with a dull axe. You say, what do you mean I got to work a little bit harder? Well, let me tell you. You say, if you say, hey, I used to read the Bible and I used to enjoy it. I used to get up in the morning and I couldn't wait till I opened the Word of God. I couldn't wait to see what God was going to talk to me about today. Now it's a pain. Now it's a drudgery. Now it's not as interesting. All right? So your axe is a little bit dull. You got to work a little bit harder. What I mean by that, you need to set your time. You need to set your time. Every day at this time, I'm going to read the Bible. And whether you're sick or healthy, whether you feel good or you feel bad, whether it doesn't matter what you're doing, stop at that time and read the Bible. You say, well, it's dull. So what? Read it. It doesn't speak to me. So what? Read it. You know, I've used this illustration before. A sieve doesn't catch much water. You know what a sieve is, that holy thing, and you sieve stuff through it? Or I don't know if you sieve stuff through it, but you wash stuff in it. You know, you put stuff in a sieve and you put water on it and the water goes through the sieve. Sieve doesn't catch much water, but a sieve stays clean because the water runs through it. The Word of God, you may not catch a thing, but it will run right through you and keep you clean. So set a time. Set down at that time, regardless of what's going on, and read your Bible. You say, I don't pray as much as I used to. Okay, so your axe is a little bit dull. You can still cut trees with a dull axe. You just got to work a little bit harder. Set you a time to pray. Say, preacher, it doesn't seem like my prayers are getting past the ceiling. Doesn't matter. Pray anyway. That's where faith comes in. Faith says that we have a God answering prayer, and if we ask, He will answer and show us great and mighty things we don't know about. So just pray. What do you think He's going to answer or not? Do you think your prayers are getting past the ceiling or not? You got to work at it a little bit harder, but pray. You say, well, church just doesn't seem as interesting. It's not as fun as it used to be. It's become a drudgery. All right, so your axe is a little bit dull. You got to work a little bit harder. Just come. 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 You say, oh, it's boring. Well, come. Just come. Pretty soon, if you come, the Holy Spirit will get a hold of you and you will enjoy it again. But I'm getting ahead of myself. That's my next point. Whether you enjoy it or not, come. Just come. Come. A dull axe can still cut trees. You just got to work a little bit harder. Just got to take more swings. Just got to keep chopping. And so if you're here this morning and your axe is a little bit dull, don't give up. Don't quit. Don't think, well, God can't use me because my axe is dull. Yes, He can. He can still use you. You can still cut trees. You can still walk with God. You can still serve God. You just got to work a little bit harder. My second point is this. If you have a dull axe this morning, you can sharpen it. You can sharpen it. You remember David? David was a man after God's own heart. And David one time was at a place where he shouldn't have been. All the army had gone to war. He was a commander in chief. He should have been with the army in Joab. But he stayed at home. And he went up on top of his house and he saw something that he shouldn't have seen. He saw a lady bathing. And again, I don't have time to tell you the whole story this morning, but most of you know the story. He took that woman into his house. He committed adultery with her. She was with child as a result of that. And David ended up murdering her husband, committing adultery, committing murder. And in Psalm 51, the psalm that he wrote as he was asking God to forgive him of that sin, it's a song about asking God to sharpen his axe. He says, God, I have sinned against you. Yeah, I know I sinned against Bathsheba. I know I sinned against Uriah. But most of all, I have sinned against you. Dear God, would you forgive me my sin? Would you forgive the transgressions that I've committed? And would you restore unto me the joy of my salvation? And what David was praying for, he said, Lord, I want you to sharpen my axe. And God did. God took the honing block and he began to rub David's axe. The little baby that was born to Bathsheba died. Another one of his sons committed murder and killed a brother. And another one of his sons rebelled, the little baby died. One of his sons raped his half-sister. The brother of the sister killed that brother and then rose up in rebellion against David and tried to overthrow him from being the king. You know what that was? That was God taking his honing block and sharpening David's axe. David, you wanted me to restore the joy of your salvation? Sometimes what I have to do hurts. Sometimes what I have to do to give you the joy back, you wouldn't choose. I've got good news for you this morning if your axe is dull. It can be sharpened. Now, you can sharpen it or God can sharpen it. You get to choose. Say, preacher, it doesn't sound like I want God sharpening my axe. How do I sharpen it? You do the things that God would do. Again, if your Bible reading is uninteresting, don't let God bring circumstances into your life to drive you back to the Bible. That's what he'll do. He'll bring something into your life that'll drive you back to that book. Rather than wait for that circumstance, why don't you just get back in the book yourself? Why don't you just read it and read it and read it and read it and read it? I guarantee if you stay in it and read it, pretty soon the joy will come back. Say, I don't pray like I used to pray. Well, God will either hone your axe or you can. I mean, and again, we'd be a whole lot better off if we honed our own axes as opposed to letting God do it. Because if you don't pray, what's going to happen? If you ask God to hone your axe, he's going to bring something into your life that'll drive you to your knees. He'll bring a circumstance into your life that'll make you pray because you haven't got any other option but to go to him in prayer. He'll get you praying again. He'll get you believing that he's a prayer-answering God. But why should God have to send that circumstance into our life? Why can't we just believe that book that he is a prayer-answering God? Why can't we believe what we've even heard this morning about how God answers prayer? Why can't we just pray and pray and pray and pray and let God restore the joy in prayer? Same thing. Your axe may be dull when it comes to just going to church. Your axe may be dull. You can hone it or God can hone it. If you let God hone it, what he'll do, he'll drive you back to church. He'll get you back in church. You may not like the circumstances. May not like the circumstances, but he'll get you back in church. Why should we let him do it? Why don't we do it? Why don't we avoid the situation or the circumstance that God would use to drive us in back to church? Why don't we just say, well, I'm going to come. Well, I don't find it interesting. Just come. It's boring. Just come. I don't get anything out of it. Just come. Just come. Just come. Just come. God will reward faithfulness to his house. If your axe is dull, he'll sharpen it. And he'll give you that joy back. And then number three, there's some people here this morning whose axes are still sharp. I refer you to Psalm 74. You don't need to turn there. Let me read verses 5 and 6. Here's what the Bible says. A man was famous according as he had lifted up axes upon the thick trees, but now they break down the carved work thereof. There's a little story in that psalm. It's about a woodsman, a person that uses an axe. And the story goes like this. The man was famous for using his axes to cut thick trees. He'd take his axe, he'd go out in the woods, he'd find the thickest tree that he could find, the tree that was biggest around, and he'd cut down that tree with his sharp axe. But then something happened to the woodsman. He got distracted. He left cutting thick trees, and he began to carve furniture. Now, there's nothing wrong with carving furniture. Nothing wrong at all. But can you see a big, hardy woodsman with his big, sharp axe carving furniture? That axe wasn't made to carve furniture. That axe was made to cut thick trees. It was to be out in the middle of the woods cutting down those big, in diameter, trees. You may have a sharp axe this morning, but what are you doing with it? Here's one of Satan's favorite ploys to get us off track as Christians. We're at work doing the best. We're out there doing what God wants us to do with our Christian life. And then Satan comes along and says, hey, I got something else you can do with your axe. And it's not bad. Why don't you try this for a while? And we get distracted doing something that's not bad, but isn't the best. It isn't how God wants us to spend our Christian life and spend our energies as a child of God. And so if you've got a sharp axe this morning and you're carving furniture in the context of this story, hey, leave the wood shop, get back out to the woods. Take your sharp axe, go back to the forest and find the biggest tree that you can find and get to cutting that tree. And what I mean by that is don't get distracted by doing something good and leaving the best undone. Get back to what God wants you to do. Get back to swinging that axe and chopping down the big trees that he's put in your life to chop down. So again, if your axe is dull this morning, I got good news for you. Dull axe can still cut wood. You can still serve God. You just got to work a little bit harder. And your axe can be sharpened. Be a lot better off. We'd all be a lot better off if we did it ourselves as opposed to let God do it. And if your axe is sharp this morning, praise God. But make sure Satan hadn't distracted you. Make sure you're still out in the woods cutting those trees that God wants you to cut. And you say, preacher, you haven't hit me yet. My axe is sharp and I'm out in the woods cutting trees. Well, praise God. Keep at it. Don't get tired. Don't quit. Don't rest. The time is nigh. Jesus is about to come back. The time is short. And we need to be swinging our axes for all they're worth, telling men and women and boys and girls about Jesus Christ and what he offers in eternal security, what he offers in eternal life, what he offers in the joy and the peace and the satisfaction and the sense of purpose that we find in Christ. Now again, if you're here this morning and you say, preacher, I don't have an axe yet, you can get one. You can get one this morning. All you got to do is come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I understand there's a penalty for that sin, and I believe that you paid the price. You paid what I owed. And this morning, I'm asking you to save me. Save me. That's all there is. That's all you got to do. You don't have to turn over a new leaf. You don't have to join the church. You don't have to get baptized. You don't have to take communion. You don't have to do none of that. You don't have to become a Baptist. You know, when we get to heaven, I don't know if they'll be Baptist or not. I don't think we'll have those labels. We'll all be part of the family of God. We'll all be God's children. So you don't even have to become a Baptist. Now, by the way, I think doing all that stuff's pretty good. I think you ought to get baptized after you get saved. I think you ought to take the Lord's Supper. I think you ought to join a church that preaches the gospel. But my point is, none of that is necessary to get right with God. There's only one thing, and that's coming to Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And if you're here this morning and you don't have an axe, in other words, you don't have a Christian life, you don't have a walk with God, you can get one this morning. You can get one right now by simply, in your heart, asking Jesus to save you. And he will do it. Would you do that? Would you do it right now? Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. Father, I pray if there's just one person here this morning that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, that right now in the quietness, the quietedness of this moment, that they would see themselves as a sinner. They would see the price that Jesus paid on Calvary. And they would receive him as their Savior. They would ask him to save them. Father, again, if there's just one teenager, one young lady, one young man, who's here that doesn't know Jesus, help them not to leave this place until they get it settled. I pray, Father, for this time of invitation. I pray you speak to our hearts as Christians. Help us to look at our axe and the edge of our axe. If it's not as sharp as it used to be, Father, help us to do those things to hone it, to make it sharp again. And then, Father, help us to make sure we're doing what you want us to do with it, that we're cutting those trees and we're living our life in such a way that brings honor and glory to our Savior. Just bless this time of invitation, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.